try to find it, but you can start talking.
Yeah, this is a major principle in halacha, which is established in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Pei Tes Hamid Beis in Perka Isha Rabbah, and that's called Hefker Bezdin Hefker, which really empowers Bezdin with the authority to control private ownership, and they can decide that what you think you own, you don't own.
I found it. I got the sources.
Okay, great. So that's the Gemara on Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Me'imasai Adam Yoresh Es Ishto Ktana." There's a sugya here about a husband who marries a young girl. That means she's less than 12, and she dies, and he inherits her. That's called midrabanan. That's called a Yerusha Derabanan, right? Most of Yerusha is written in the Torah, in Parshas Matos, but here we have a Yerusha Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, how is it possible that the Rabbanan could establish that a Baal inherits his wife, in this case of a Ketana, when the Torah gave the rights of inheritance to the father of this Ketana? That's called Binurea Beis Avia, that as long as she's a Ketana, her father owns all of her monetary possessions. So how could the Rabbanan have the power to undermine the yad of the Baal, of the Av, of the father, to be Yoresh's Bito Akhtano? And the Gemara answers that Yoresh Le Baal Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Omar Rav Yitzchak Minayin She Hefker Bezdin Hefker Shenemar Kol Asher Lo Yavo Lishlosh Sayom Batzas Hasorim Vazkenim Yechram Kol Rechusho Vahu Yibodel Mikahal Agola. So according to Rav Yitzchak, he finds a particular source for Hefker Bezdin Hefker in one particular parsha, and that's if I'm not mistaken. Well, can you read it on the side there? It's a little bit too small for my eyes.
Which one?
The second one, Beis in Torah Or.
Oh wow! Yeah. I can read it, but it is small.
Okay, sorry, it's a little bit small for me. I apologize.
One second. V'chol asher lo yavo l'shlosha hayamim.
Right.
Me'etze.
Ba'atzas hasorim.
Me'atzat hasorim. Right. Hazkenim yechem ram.
Right. I just want to know where it's from. You see at the bottom, it tells you in parentheses where it's
Ezra,
from.
Ezra.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. It's from Ezra. Okay.
Right.
So that's according to Rabbi Yitzchak. And he has his pasuk. Rabbi Lazar has a different pasuk, which I think is from also from Tanakh. Mehacha Ela Hanachlos Asher Nachlu El Lazar Akon Vishu Benun V'Rashi Avos Lematos Bnei Yisrael. And he has a very sophisticated drasha from that pasuk. So let's just go over this very. Very simple overview of what we know until this point. The Gemara in Yevamos establishes that a Baal is Yoresh Ishto Ketana, and that undermines the rights of her father to inherit her. And the Gemara says, how is that possible? How did the Rabbanan have the authority to pull that off? And the Gemara says that the Baal is Yoresh Ishto Ketana Midin Hefker Bezdin Hefker, which Rabbi Yitzchak derives from a pasuk in Ezra, and Rabbi Lazar derives it from a different pasuk in Tanakh. Ezra is the pasuk of Kol Asher Lo Yavo L'Shlosh Sayom Katzas Hasorim Vazkenim Yechram Kol Rechusho V'Yibadol Mikal Agola. And then there's a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua which Rabbi Lazar invokes, V'Ela Asher Nachlu B'nei Yisrael V'Eretz Kanan Asher Nachlu Osam El Lazar Akon V'Yishu B'Nun Rashi Ovis Hamatus B'nei Yisrael. The Gemara goes on and explains Rabbi Lazar's drasha, v'chima inyon roshim etzel avos. Very strange. The pasuk says v'elu asher nachlu. That's nachla, and then it says v'roshe avos hamatos, which are the heads or the princes of the various shvatim. Normally, when we talk about Nachla, when we talk about Yerusha, goes through Avos. And that would make sense. But here it says Avos Hamatos, which sounds like we're talking about the Rosh Hamatos. Elolomar lecha ma avos manchilim bneim kol ma sheyirtzu. Just like a father could transfer ownership over any of his property to his children, af roshim, so to the heads of the matos who serve as the dayonim, and they serve on the bezdin, the Sanhedrin, manchilim es ha'am kol ma sheyirtzu. They can give an acquisition to anyone in the nation as they see fit. Now, although the Gemara in Yevamos that we saw derives the source for, you know, establishes and pinpoints the source for Hefker Bezdin Hefker, however, the real Makoi Sugya, the primary Sugya in Shas of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, is actually Gemara in Masecht Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. And that's the case of Pruzbul, right? We know that when Shemitah comes around at the end of the seventh year, there's something called Shemitah's Ksofim, so that any Malva who extended a loan no longer has rights to collect the loan, because the loan is completely nulled and voided by Shvius, unless a Pruzbul was made. And the Gemara establishes that a Pruzbul is operative. Why? Because midoraisa, on a Torah level, ain shvius no heges bisman hazeh. Right? In order to have shvius, you need certain conditions to exist, like rov yoshvel leha. So those conditions haven't come to pass, and therefore shvius is only derabbanon.
And if a midoraisa, you wouldn't be allowed to use a pruzbul.
Oh, so if shvius was doraita, then the Gemara assumes that shvius would be meshame techov and pruzbul would not be operative. And therefore, if a person would lend someone money, shvius would break up that loan. However, since bizman hazeh, there is no power to shvius to break up a loan, and therefore the whole institution of shvius, bizman hazeh, is only derabbanan. Tiknu rabbanan, the tishamet zechel shvius. The rabbanon established that the seventh year is a shmita to undermine any chovos, any obligations, but only midrabbanon. Why? Mishum zechel shvius. The chachamim wanted us to remember the institution of shvius. Hillel saw that as a result of this takonis chachamim to reinstitute shmitas ksofim, nimnu ha'am milahalvo zezeh. People didn't want to extend loans because they knew the seventh year would come and break up that loan. Is Amad Hillel the Hiskin Pruzbul? Hillel got up and he made a takon of Pruzbul. Now what that means is that as a result of this Pruzbul, the Malve is going to be able to collect his chov. So the Gemara asks, Mi ka midi de midraisa lo meshamta shvius v'takinu rabbanan t'tishamet. It turns out that since on a doraisa level Shemitah is not meshamet bizman hazeh, only the rabbanan have established that there is an institution called shvius that's meshamet techov. And it turns out now that if, let's say, there was no pruzbul, then the malva would not be able to collect his chov once the takon of pruzbul went into effect. And we've already established shvius derabbanan to break up the chov, then the malva would not have the wherewithal, the recourse to collect his chov. So the Gemara asks, how could it be that on a doraisa level the shmita year doesn't have the power to break up the loan, the shibu, the chov, and yet midrabbanan it does? And the Gemara answers that the chachonim have the ability to do so. Hillel has the ability to make his takana, and that's all based on hefker bezdin hefker. So this you'll see on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, about five lines down from the top. It says tkinu rabbanan de tishamet, and the Gemara says Rav Amar hefker bezdin hefker. Then the Gemara goes ahead and quotes the entire sugi that we saw in Masechta Yevamos, establishing two possible sources in Tanakh for the authority of Beis Din to control ownership and therefore to make something into hefker. In this case, the Rabbanan are going to say that the Lova will not have to pay the Malva with Shvius, let's say assuming there was no Prusbul, even though on a Torah level the Malva has rights to collect that Chov. And the answer is the Rabbanan could play around with Didi Mominus and ownership in the way they see fit. And they establish Shvius with a Shemitah that's going to be Mishami Techov as a Zecher L'Shvius. Once they made that Takana, they exercise and flex the muscle of Hefker Bezden Hefker, and as a result, the Malva will not be able to collect his Chov. That's what we have so far.
Wow. Okay.
Now, one of the things that we'd like to come to grips with, I don't know if we'll be able to, is what is the machlokas here between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Loza? Why does Rabbi Yitzchak derive and establish the halacha of Hefker Bez and Hefker based on Ezra, whereas Rabbi Loza sees it in Sefer Yoshua? Okay, we'll get back to that in Mirtz Hashem a little bit later. But now, what we want to do is we want to establish a definition of Hefker Bez and Hefker. And what Hefker Bez and Hefker means in the case of Shemitah is to be Mafkia Zchus Momen Shel Bailin, which means that the Malva has rights to collect his Chov on a Doraisa level, and via the principle of Hefker Bez and Hefker, he's Mufka. We remove his rights to collect that which is due to him, which is, you know, legitimately his, and that's what Bez Din is able to do, in this case by establishing the Takon of Shvius. What we're not saying yet, at this point, based on the Sugin Gittin, is that Bezdin's powers could even go beyond that, and they could give Mammon to someone else. In other words, again, the loaf is holding on to his money that he borrowed. That's called Milvelot Son. The Rabbanon are not taking the money out of the Lova's pocket and putting it into the pocket of the Malva, or vice versa. They're not taking money out of the pocket of the Malva and giving it to the Lova. Hefker Bez and Hefker means status quo. The Lova can hold on to his Mammon. He doesn't have to cough it up. The Malva, for his part, who has a Zchus Mammon to collect that Chov, he's Mufka through Hefker Bez and Hefker. But does Bez Din have a right to go beyond that? Not only to be Mafkia Zchus Mammon, but even to be Makne Mammon. Can they take money and give it over to someone and recognize that that person is the proud owner of that Mammon, even though according to the Doraisa law, he hasn't acquired that Mammon, it's not his? And that's going to be the subject of this Rashba. If you take a look on page 1, on the bottom of page 1 on the right side, the Rashba writes the following in Masechta Gittin. He says, Umina Shaminon, we derive from this sugya, Dekoach Bezdin Yofel Ahafkir Mammon Mizeh Ulezakoso Lezeh. Not only can they remove you from your ownership, that's called lahafkir or lafkia, but they can even go a step further and they can give you mammon that's not yours. They can literally put money into your bank account, even though that money never came into your bank account.
Right.
And has the Rashbam know this? I mean, it's a pretty radical chiddush. He quotes the pasuk in Yoshua. This was the pasuk that, if you remember, Rabbi Loza quoted as the source for Hefker Bez and Hefker. And there it says, Ela nachlos asher nochalu, ma avos manchilin. Just like a father can take his money and bequeath it to his children, or one of his children, and that child acquires ownership, so too, in the case of Beis Din, they can do the exact same thing as the Roshim, and manchilim l'chol mishi yirtze. Says the Rashba, now you're talking about manchilim. Manchilim means in a positive kumva say, to take money and put it into someone's possession, which means not just a hafkos v'schus moment, but even a haknos v'schus moment. They can take money out of Reuven's possession, which, okay, that's not a chiddush, But Hefker Bezdin Hefker means not only does the money now become Hefker as far as Reuven's concerned, and he loses his grip on that Mammon, but moreover, Shimon becomes the Zoche in that Mammon, and now the ownership of Reuven is replaced by that of Shimon. That means that Bezdin has a power not only to be Mafkia Schus Mammon, but even Lahaknos Mammon, which is Mufkar Lacherim. So in other words, they make it Hefker vis-a-vis Reuven, and they give it to Shimon, or vice versa. And this is the breakthrough of the Rashba, and we're beginning to suspect that maybe the Rashba has to pin this Chiddush on the Drasha of Rabbi Elazar from Yoshua. He could not do so based on the Drasha of who was it, the first man, I forgot, sorry, of Rabbi Yitzchak from Ezra. And now we want to fast forward to page 7, and we want to see the Stechemed. You know, the Stechemed was a Sephardic gadol who lived in Eretz Yisrael about a century ago, and in his Stechemed Mareches Hey, because it's built on essays according to the alphabet, he has Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And in this essay, he wants to derive the same conclusion that the Rashba derived from a Rambam. And the Rambam, we should see, before we see the Stechemet, so we know where the Stechemet's coming from, and this you'll see on page 2 of Yemar Makomos, the Rambam is in Hilchus Shoft, in Hilchus Sanhedrin, sorry. So next to the last source on your page 2. And the Rambam writes, V'chein yesh l'dayin tamid lahafkir mamon sheyesh lo bailim uma'abed schuso k'fi ma sheyireh ligdar pritz sadas l'chazek abedikol liknos ilim zeh. Vareu Omer b'Ezra kol asher lo yavo l'shalshel sayom katzas sorim uzkenim yechram kol rechusho mikan shehefker bezdin hefker. So let's see what conclusion the Stechemin wants to derive from this Rambam. And again, we're back on page 7, and he says, this is on the left column, Niral Anias Daiti, on the top left, Echein Mizbar Medivir Rambam Perek Chavdal in Milchus Sanhedrin Lach Avav. The Rambam writes, Ma'abed V'nosein Kifi Ma'she Yireh Ligdar Pratzos. So if you look carefully at the language of the Rambam, says the Stechemed, he says, Ma'abed Zchusom. Correct? He says, Sheyesho So what diuk is the just 1 second. What do you say, Avi?
I'm with you.
Are you with me? So what did the Stechemet see here in the Rambam that we didn't see? He says,
it seemed like the Rambam says that you could just be
Ma'abed.
Just be Hefker.
Right, he has Ma'abed V'nosein. Do you see that on the third line in the left column? V'nosein.
Right.
So he says, and then if you look to the sixth line, he says, Mi dekasav, since the Rambam writes, Ma'abed V'nosein, mashma de yesh lahaknos. De gam lahaknos yesh kof biad bezdin, mishum bezdin, hefker bezdin. Wow. So he has the word nosein. We don't have that in our text.
Put him on the chair so I can study.
I have a very strong suspicion that the Stechemet has a different text in the Rambam than we have. We don't have the word v'nosein.
Ah, then maybe he has a different text. He didn't just add it himself.
Right. Now, if I had access to the Frankel edition of the Rambam, right this second, I don't have that. I would be able to check that out, because in the back of the Frankel edition he has what's called,
right?
He has Shinu Nischos in the back. Very helpful. When I was working on the Rambam Hilchus Talmud Torah, the Shinu Nischos was very, very helpful. It's literally the last pages of the entire book of the Frankel Rambam. Now, if you take a look in the next part of the Stei Chemed, just fast forward by a few lines, he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. And this Rabbeinu Yonah, you will find on page 2 of your Mar Makomos pages. And it's the famous Aliyos to Rabbeinu Yonah on Baba Basra. And there he says, Shelo huzkar dina de malchusa ela hafka ukeinyan hefker bezdin. So Rabbeinu Yonah establishes an analogy between two principles in halacha. One principle is called dina de malchusa, that the law is in the hands of the government, they make the final law. And the other rule is hefker bezdin hefker, and he equates the two. And he says that the power and the authority of dina de malchusa only goes as far as lahafkia, to take possessions and properties out of the hands of he who possesses them. And so too, he says, in the case of hefker bezdin hefker, aval kol zman shelo hichzik bahem lo zocha bahem. Hefker bezdin hefker could not possibly engender a kinyan chazaka for someone who didn't make the chazaka. Until he implements the chazaka, then he's not kona, despite hefker bezdin hefker. And that's what the Stei Chemed here on page 7 derives from Rabbeinu Yonah. And you'll see this on the bottom right column of the Rabbeinu Yonah. I mean, it's of the Stei Chemed, but he's quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. And he points out that the truth of the matter is the two definitions of hefker bezdin hefker might actually depend upon the two shitos of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Lazar as to how and from whence we derive what is the origin, the source in the Tanakh for hefker bezdin hefker. We saw already that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, hefker bezdin hefker, like the case of the father who's manchil, would seem to have that positive extra force, extra authority to be manchil, to be machnes someone, a hakna. But what we have to see is the Yam Shel Shlomo of the Marshal, which is on page 2, on the top left, he says, Nira Dehad Rabbi Lazar Adif the Alfina Minei Sheyuchu Lafkia Mamon Shel Echad Ulahachlit Lechavero. Wow. He says that Dafka, it's the derivation of Rabbi Lazar that is more Adif. Like, more Adif means it has a greater application and a broader scope that we're going to derive from his Pasuk, which is in Yoshua, that Bezdin has the powers of Bezdin go as far as to be mafkia mamon, to take money out of someone's possession and give it to someone else, such that that recipient now owns the mamon. And the implication, what do you say?
Who's saying that?
That's the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Marshal. And he strongly implies that if you go with the derivation of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is from Sefer Ezra, you'd be limited to because again the Pasuk in Ezra says Yechram Yechram Kol Rechusho. Now Yechram Kol Rechusho would imply that they could take money away from someone. That's called Yechram Rechusho. That's a koach of Hafkas Mamon. Rabbi Lazar did not want to derive Hefker Bezdin Hefker from the Pasuk in Ezra of Yechram Kol Rechusho, but rather he wanted the Pasuk in Yoshua that says that Avos Matos, right, the Avos Matos are like Avos, which really means that that they could be Makne Momo. Now, what I'm a little bit confused about is if we go back to the Rambam actually quotes the Pasuk in Ezra. And the Pasuk in Ezra says, Yechram kol rechusho. That would make sense according to our gears in the Rambam, that Hefker Bezen Hefker is only limited to Yechram Kol Rechusho, to being Mafkia Mama. But if you have the Girsa that the Stechemin has, then how did, you know, that the Hefker Bezen Hefker is even to give Mama to someone, to be Makne Mama, then how do you derive that from Rabbi Yitzchak? And the Rambam quotes the Pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak. But be that as it may, if we leave that issue on the side, let's just focus on the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Yam Shel Shlomo has a very neat package. And basically, according to the Yam Shel Shlomo, Rabbi Elazar, and only Rabbi Elazar, expands the powers of Hefker Bezen Hefker to give a positive kinyan, akna. And the reason why Rabbi Yitzchak was inhibited and refused to accept that derivation of Rabbi Elazar from the pasuk in Yoshua is because he was of the opinion that Hefker Bezen Hefker is only a limited hafkas mamon, and that's reflected in the pasuk in Ezra Yechram Kol Rechusho. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, didn't want to derive Hefker Bezen Hefker from the pasuk in Yoshua of Yechram Kol Rechusho, because the advantage of the pasuk in Yoshua is that that implies even a positive haknas mamon. So let's go back again for a moment to the pasuk in Yoshua of Rabbi Elazar, and there it says, "V'eila asher nachlu b'nei Yisrael be'etz Yisrael asher nachalu or nichalu osam." That's a positive haknah. So the Yam Shel Shlomo is very beautiful. There are two possible sources in Tanakh for Hefker Bezen Hefker. The two possible definitions of Hefker Bezen Hefker and the scope of that authority of Bezdin. And both of these definitions depend upon the two possible derivations. And that would give us an answer to the question as to why Rabbi Yitzchak pushed the envelope for his derivation for the Pasuk in Ezra, whereas Rabbi Elazar pushed for his agenda to derive Hefker Bezen Hefker for the Pasuk in Yoshua. Rabbi Yitzchak had a limited scope power of Hefker Bezen Hefker that's limited to Yechram Kol Rechusha, that's Hafkas Mamon, and that's it. Whereas Rabbi Elazar wanted to take this one step further and grant Bezdin the power of Haknas Mamon, and that he can only derive from the equation between Avos and Rashi HaAvos. Now, if we go back to the Rashba for a minute that we began with on page 1, the Rashba says that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is even a Haknah. Let's see it one more time. The Rashba, he says, Shamina dekoch Bezdin Yofer lahafkir momen mizeh ulezakoso lazeh, which means that they can even transfer ownership and have some recipient acquire ownership through the power of Hefker Bezen Hefker. And it's fascinating that the Rashba, when he wants to quote a proof for this very far-reaching conclusion, he quotes the Kra in Yoshua of Eile Hanachos Asher Nichalu Ma Avos Manchilim Yom Shizeh Ploni Ploni Zocha Bo Miyad Af Kodim Sheboli Yodo is Af Roshim, which is referring to Bezdin, is Manchilim L'chol Mishi Yirtza V'yomer Mamon Ruven Yiel L'Shima V'zocha Bo Shivan Me'ata. Wow. So according to Yam Shel Shlomo, everything fits in beautifully. On the other hand, the Stechemed, I think, has a problem here, because in the Shittas HaRambam, he assumes that the Rambam has the broader scoped definition of Hefker Bezen Hefker, despite the fact that the Rambam explicitly derives Hefker Bezen Hefker from the Pasuk in Ezra. Uh-huh.
So there's two derivations here, and one of them allows us to take money and give to the other person, even.
Correct. And that's going to be the derivation from Yoshua, which is formulated by Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yitzchak has a more conservative definition, a limited definition of the scope of Hefker Bezen Hefker. They can only be mafkia, someone's chus, but they can't, in a positive sense, pass on ownership to someone else who never made a kinyan and never acquired it, you know, kedasu kedin.
Right. And we understand this all better within the Yam Shel Shlomo, much more than we do.
Right, within the framework of the Stechemet. But keep in mind that the Rashba is the most explicit, you know, proof that the Yam Shel Shlomo could deduce. The only problem that we have with the Rashba is not the Rashba on page 1, but the Rashba on page 2, which on the top of your page on the right side, that's called Tshuvas HaRashba. You know, the Rashba wrote Chidushim on the Masechta, which is what we saw here on in Gittin. He also wrote Tshuvas. And in the Tshuva, he writes, Minayin shehefker bezn hefker shenema v'chol asher lo yovel l'shlosh siyom katzas asomis kenim yechram kol rechusho. He quotes the pasuk in Ezra of yechram kol rechusho. It's the same pasuk that the Rambam, if you remember, quoted. Now, if the Marshal is correct, that pasuk limits and circumscribes the authority of bezdin to hafkas moment of yechram, but doesn't actually bestow upon Beis Din the power and the authority of Hakna. And yet the Rashba brings the pasuk in Sefer Yoshua of Yechram, which applies a more limited kind of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, but he himself says that Hefker Beis Din Hefker applies not only to Hafka, but even to Hakna, which is really wild. So we really have a kind of a contradiction in the Rashba. So the Rashba in Chidushim and Gittin is very smooth. And that's a perfect proof for the Amshel Shlomo. But the Rashba in Tshuvas, all of a sudden, to our surprise, invokes the Pasuk in Ezra. Now the Stechemed is bothered by the following question. According to the Amshel Shlomo, the machlokes about what the source of hefker bezin hefker really at its heart is identical with the machlokes, or shall I say the two contradictory definitions of hefker bezin hefker, it's hafka or it's hakna. And it's hafka is derived from the pasuk in Ezra of Yechram, and hakna from the pasuk in Yoshua about Manchilim. Now, the Rambam, on the other hand, because again, according to the text of the Amshel Shlomo, the Rambam says V'nosan, which means Hakna, and yet the Rambam quotes the pasuk in Ezra of Yechram Kol Rechusha. Again, that's the Stechemet's objection to the Amshel Shlomo, but again, the objection is based on a certain reading of the Rambam, which we don't necessarily have. In any event, because of this objection that the Stechemed raises against the Marshal, he therefore submits that there's another reason why Rav Elazar preferred the pasuk in Yoshua, not because he wanted to go a step further than the pasuk in Ezra and establish Hakna, but rather the pasuk in Yoshua is much more explicit. It's much more clear and obvious than Hefker Beis Din Hefker. So it wasn't really for halachic reasons that Rabbi Elazar disagreed with Rabbi Yitzchak. No, he was just more impressed with the pasuk in Yoshua, thinking that it's a more explicit source and basis for this conclusion, this principle of Hefker Beis Din Hefker.
Wow, it's a bit complicated.
Yeah. Now, I just want to point out that the Achronim, the Machne Ephraim, and others, they, just one second, they also are aware of this, you know, two definitions of Hefker Beis Din Hefker that we saw explicitly in the Yamshel Shlomo and in the Stechemet. There's Hafka and there's Hakna, and they want to raise a different question, and that is what's called a Kinyan Derabbanan. There's a machlokes about a Kinyan Derabbanan, whether a Kinyan Derabbanan is meaningful on a Doraisa level. For example, let's say that a person acquired ownership over metaltalin, over a movable object, through meshicha. And then he took that object and he used it to be Makadish and Isha. Does the Kinyan Darabanan have the ability to be to achieve, if you will, the recognition of the Torah in the case of Kiddushin, to make her into an Eishes Ish? Or, for example, to be Makayim the Mitzvah of Lulav, where the Torah says, L'kachtem Lachem. He was Kona, this Lulav, with a Kinyan Meshicha Darabanan. The Torah didn't recognize that Kinyan, so his acquisition is not viable according to Torah law. Can he fulfill his mitzvah of L'kachtem Lachem, of Netilas Lulav? And that's a tremendous controversy amongst the Rishonim. Now, if Hefker Bezdin is a Hakna, which is the final conclusion of the Yamshel, of the Stechemet in the Rambam, and the Yamshel Shlomo in the Rashba, then a Kinyan Drabbanon should certainly work Midoraisa. Why? Because the Torah recognizes a Kinyan Drabbanon. And therefore, those Rishonim that identify or upgrade, if you will, and recognize that Kinyan Darabanan as being meaningful on a Doraisa level, the condition is valid to make her into an Eishes Ish based on a Kinyan Darabanan, obviously they are maintaining that Hefker Bezdin is a Hakna, and therefore a Kinyan Darabanan could be meaningful to be recognized in order to generate even Doraisa laws, like we said before, Netilas Lulav and Kiddushin. However, the Machne Ephraim understands that Hefker Bezdin Hefker, it's not a Hakna, against all the conclusions that we've been presenting until now. The Machne Ephraim, you may know, was a Sfaradi, a Gadol in Turkey some 2.5 centuries ago. I think his name was Navon, if I'm not mistaken. And he identifies Hefker Bezdin Hefker in a very limited way as Hafkar. He's not willing to recognize a more powerful, broad-scope definition of Hefker Bezdin Hefker as a Hakna. And a later Achron called the Maritz Chayos in Masechta Gittin wants to adduce a proof text for the Machne Ephraim. And he quotes Rashi and Tosus and Gittin, and they only have Hefker Bezdin Hefker as a Hafka. So let's take a quick peek at the Maritz Chayis, which you'll see on page 3 of your Mar Mekomas page. We have the Machne Ephraim in big bold print here on the bottom of the page. Correct?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find, maybe you could help me find the Maritz Chayis. I'm trying to figure out where the Maritz Chayis is. Oh, there it is. So Maritz Chayis is in the middle. The Machne Ephraim is on the bottom, even though chronologically that's the reversal of the order, just that the Maritz Chayis added his comments to the Gemara. That's why he got a higher position here, so to speak. But he says that the Machne Ephraim writes Meshicha ina kon el midrabbanan. That's a sugi b'choros, and therefore mesafkali. I have a suffeg. Misha lokach kli michaveru moshach esakli. The kodem shenosan esadamim. So the kone didn't give the damim yet to the machne, which would have clinched it on a deraisa level. He just made a meshicha on the kli. Is kidesh bioso kli aseisha imi mukudeshes midraisa or eni mukudeshes ela midrabanan? Kevon de eno konui lo a kli ela bekinyan drabanan a meshicha ena ela bekinyan drabanan. And basically, his conclusion is in this long presentation here in Hilchus Mechira of the Machne Ephraim, that according to the Rambam and others, this Kinyan would not be recognized on a Doraisa level. Lo kana kone ela midrabanan. It's only a Kinyan derabanan. And if you take a look at the Maritz Chayos, which is right above the Machne Ephraim, he writes, Pirush Rashi, Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Shitas Rav Harav machna frayim the afgav diyesh koch b'chakom lahafkir avolola haknos umehach techol asher lo yavo shloshes yomim yechrav kol rechusho. He's invoking the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak and the derivation from Ezra. That's only yechram, which we said is lahafkir, but not lahaknos. Harei kan tzrichim abezin lifol shtei peulos. Here in the sugya of Gittin, Bezdin has to achieve two things. Number one, lahotzi haget mi yada. In other words, on a deraisa level, the get was delivered to her and she was kona the get. And the reason for that is shenosna schar sofer. Vizerak eno hefker vator kos v'nosan v'dayin eno shalom. Normally the Baal pays the money to the sofer to write the get. In this case, she paid the money to the sofer to write the get. And through Hefker Bezdin Hefker, they're going to take this money that she gave to the sofer, which was her money, legitimately hers, and they're going to be mafkir it, so that she no longer was the owner of the money that she paid to the sofer. And that's going to obviate the psul of Nosno Schar Sofer, as if he, the Baal, paid the Schar to the Sofer. But wait a second. If she lost her powers of ownership through Hefker Bezdin Hefker, because they were Mafkia her ownership on the Domim that she gave to the Sofer, but nevertheless, the money doesn't belong to the Baal, how then can he be Megarisha with this get? It's not his get, because he didn't pay Schar Sofer. Now we need a second Pu'ula. It's not enough to vitiate the ownership rights of the Isha. Now you have to create ownership rights of the Baal of the Megarisha. Tzrichim Bezdin Lifol Sheyia Shalom. V'ein Koch V'yad Chachamim. They don't have the power to do so. So how can we understand that the Gemara says that this get belongs to the Baal, when he himself, the Baal, didn't pay a penny towards the writing of the get? By virtue of what kinyan does the Baal own the get, such that now he can deliver the get? The ain lomer da bezdin hotzi a get mi adav aso hefker abal zochem and a hefker. You may want to argue that even though she's the rightful owner, the Torah recognizes her ownership of the get because she paid the schar sofer with her money, but through hefker bezdin hefker, the get now becomes hefker, it's ownerless. Now the Baal picks it up from hefker. Im kelo yitochin alosh and dilma knuye akni le rabban and mashne shechachamim asu esakinyan. So basically what I see here in the Maratz Chayis is a kasha on the Machna Ephraim. Let me just review this. Again,
he doesn't see any kinyan. He doesn't see.
Yeah, he ends up with a tzarech iyun.
He doesn't see any way that the Beitin can take it.
Right. So I don't know what he means here when he says Hevi Raya L'shita Samachta Ephraim. I would have said just the opposite, that
he's asking.
The Maratz Chayis is asking a kasha on the Machna Ephraim. But that's as far as the Sugin Gittin on Daf Chaf is concerned, where she paid the Schar Sofer. Let's reverse a little bit, rewind to the Sugi on the top of your page, which is Daf Yudalit Amin Aleph. And that's the sugya of Hakosev Nechosev Le'ishto. And there, if you take a look at the Maratz Chayis, and it says Kehilchasa below Taima Pirish Ma Shemoil Liknos. Well, let's start with Rashi. Rashi says Keilu Kibla Moshe Alocha Misina She'ein Tzorach Loseis Ba'atam. So in this case of Akosev Kol Nechasov Le'ishto, we have something called a Hilchasa Belo Taima. Rashi says that maybe it was a Kabbalah Aloch L'moshe V'sina, and therefore you don't need a Tam. Or Tosus says that how should this Kenyan work? Says the Maratz Chayis, Tosfos Dibra Maskin Kehilchasa Pirish Ma Moil Liknos. In other words, there's a logical reason to justify what motivated the Chachamim to make the Takana. The question is, how were they empowered to make this Takana? V'nira b'enai mikan smach l'shitas argon bal machne Ephraim hilchus mechira dirak lahafkir hayicholim chachomim. The chachom are only empowered to remove someone's ownership and make an object ownerless, avolo lasos, but they don't have the power to create in a positive sense ownership rights. Is lo lasos eino zoche lezoche. So again, they could be mafkir someone's property or his mos, but they cannot give it to someone else. En koach biyodam lasos eino zoche kezoche. And that's what Tosis means by explaining Hilchus of Elotayma when he says Ma Moil Liknos. And there's no Hefker Bezin Hefker to create a positive Yad Lekinyan. So I just want to wrap this up.
Okay.
In a minute, if you give me another minute here to present Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger on page 5 in the Tshuvas. And there are two tshuvas here in Rabbi Kiva Eger back to back, and they're very long. We're only going to focus our attention on what Rabbi Kiva Eger writes to his son in the second tshuva to try to explain this business. He says, "Midivrei Rashba begitin v'chein midivrei Tosus muchach shehefker bezin hefker hu gam hakna." So basically, what he wants to do, the Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Tshuvas, is to emphasize the Rashba that we saw in Gittin, who goes on record explicitly that Hefker Bezen Hefker is a Koach Hakna, and at the same time, he is in a sense oblivious to the Tosfos that we saw in Gittin Yudalid, which was invoked by the Maariv Chayis as a raya that Bezdin only has a limited kind of koach, and they don't have the power to be makna something to someone, and ena lasos ena zocha kizocha. But rather, Rabbi Kivega prefers, as we saw in Gittin Daf Chaf, the Iknuye Akni Luhu Rabbanon, which in the case of a Baal who paid the sofer out of pocket, I'm sorry, take that back, the Isha who paid the sofer out of pocket, the Rabbanan could be makna the get to the Baal, such that he can now deliver the get. And that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger prefers, which is fine with me, except for the fact that we have the Tosfos in Gittin Daf Yudal, the way the Maariv Chayis understood it, which would give us and grant us a limited power of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And we have the Machne Ephraim's conclusion that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is only a din hakna, only a din of hafka, and not a din of hakna. So what we have at the end of the day here is, you know, if we line up the shitos, we have the Stechemet in the Rambam on one side, together with the Yam Shel Shlomo on that side, and of course the Rashban Gittin, and all of those maintain that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is the broad scope that includes not only Hafka but also Hakna. We add Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Tshuvas to that group, and it's a major, major group. On the other side of the scales, we have number one, the Machne Ephraim, who insists that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is only a Hafka and not a Hakna. And we have the Maariv Chayis in Gittin Daf Yudalid, based on the Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Kehilchosa, as a proof text to support the Machne Ephraim. That's what we have at this particular point. In addition to the Machne Ephraim, there's also the Avnei Nezer of the Soket Shava. He's also of the opinion that there's an equation between Dina the Malchus Dina and Hefker Bezin Hefker, and just like Dina the Malchus Dina is limited and circumscribed to Hafka and doesn't go as far as Hakna, so too Hefker Bezin Hefker. So he's on the same scorecard as the Machne Ephraim. There are a whole bunch of other achronim who jump into this entire scene here, this battlefield. The Shari Yosher of Shimon Shkop, the Rosh Yeshiva of Grodno, the Dvar Avram, who was Rosenda Shapiro, Kana Shapiro, who was the Abbezin of Kovna. They all deal at great length and in great depth with this sugya. Some of the more contemporary writers, for example, one of the Avbezdins of Tel Aviv, Rabbi Tzvi ben Yaakov, in his Mishpatecha Yaakov, tries to carve out two different categories of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, all depending upon what the purpose and the objective of the Chachamim were, whether they had in mind to be Mafkia Mamon, and that's it, or to be Makne Mamon to someone else. And then, finally, a long discussion here about what Bezdin qualifies for implementing Koach Hefker Bezdin Hefker. What kind of a Bezdin do you have? You know, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin seems to assume Yesh L'dayan Tomid L'Hafkir Momon, as if to say there is no limitation. Any Dayan can be Mafkir Momon. However, the Amshel Shlomo is of the opinion that you need what's called a Bezdin Chashuv. Only such a Bezdin has Samchus, has the authority. And he has a riot to that from a different Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. The Gemara in Moed Katan quotes the Pasuk in Ezra, Lahachrim es rechusham shel avaryanim, and that would also seem to indicate that we're talking about a samchus of bezdin to be machrim avaryanim. That's a bezdin that punishes a criminal. That might require a bezdin of a very high status. The Shulchan Aruch, which you'll see here on page 4 in Hilchos Dayanim, has a discussion here together with the Sma and the Shach about Einom Smuchim B'Eretz Yisrael. Can they implement Hefker Bezdin Hefker? The Machaber seems to assume yes, that they can. We're talking about Takonos Kvuos, we're talking about Knossos, Migdar Milsa. I mean, there are a host of different nuances and applications with regard to Knossos and Takonos, and what kind of Bezdin, even if it's a Bezdin, She'enom Smuchim Beretz Yisrael, can they apply and activate the power of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Okay, we'll stop here.